Luke chapter 3. We have three more scriptures that we're going to look at about publicans, just to emphasize what a publican is. Remember the scripture, it says, and then came the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the spiritual meaning is, if we expect, if we have, even the stuff, when I get upset at people not understanding, then I'm exacting more than is expected. Which I think Carolyn one day so aptly pointed out.
What'd she say?
You don't have to repeat it again. No, I don't remember what you said, but I remember it hit me on this subject, though. Because I expected people to hear and understand. And that's a fine balance for a teacher. But anyway, let's look at Matthew 18. You know, we talked a long time about this mystery of the formation of the body, the bride. And in the early years, it was in one way very simple, because if you said you believed in Christ, you got put in jail or you got beat or whatever. And that's still true today in some areas, like in the Sudan and certain parts of China, etc. It's a simple thing. The test is black and white. But for this kind of stuff, the test is extremely subtle. And I believe that's the cosmetic of the bride. It's not the bones and the hunks of flesh and all that. It's the cosmetic of the bride that these subtle tests are manifest in us. And it's a blessing to be in that position. And I'm not saying that other groups have to do the same thing we do, obviously. But we have to be faithful to what we see. And so there's no comparison that can happen. That's why if the people of Berea were commended, because they searched the scriptures to see whether the things that Paul told them were true, because that had to be the witness. But if you search only your mind to negotiate with yourself, actually some people negotiate or argue in their mind with me, which is kind of silly, then it doesn't edify the body, either the visible body or the spirit, the greater body. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
What?
No, I agree 100%.
All right, Matthew 18.
That's why we fought so much. It's like the battle of the mind is, your mind gets locked into opinions, thinking the way it is, and it's hard to unlock that. We had this conversation about how people think that Adam and Eve were the first man, and that's locked in there as a given. And to get out of that that's not important in the whole scheme of things, to whether that's true or not.
And what was the discussion?
It was we're reading Job, and God at the end of Job starts talking about himself and what he has done. He laid the foundations, set the stars, and he causes the clouds, and, you know, talking about how grand he is, and there was some problem in hearing some of the things that were said, because people were bound by this Adam and Eve were the first man, God damn it, you know.
Well, I believe they were the first man. I think the scriptures are clear, but they weren't the first creation. There was a pre-Adamic creation, which was the age of Lucifer. And that's the That's why, where do you think we get the gargoyles and a lot of the fossil evidence? It comes from that previous age in which it was totally destroyed by the flood, by a flood. But in the, Peter says that, but in our existence, the flood didn't destroy everything, because they kept the plants still grew after the flood. The Adam, I mean the Noah's Ark, and the people in the Ark were still the manifestation of humanity. But anyway, there's a lot of things like that that, you know, I believe that, but it's not, I think I can prove it, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary for edification or for the mystery. But if it's necessary for you, then it has to be. What was that?
There's something going off and on.
Oh.
Trying to figure it out.
All right. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother, chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Now, the against thee isn't in the text. It's just, if thy brother shall trespass, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church or to the assembly. But if he neglect to hear the church, then let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Again, heathen and publican are the worst, from the Jewish standpoint at this time, were the worst that you could be, because you were cast into outer darkness. Outer darkness doesn't mean, you know, someplace up where there's no light. It mean all the Gentile world was considered outer darkness. Okay? So again, this, it shows the degree to which the publican was the lowest of the low. Okay? Okay, Matthew 21. Verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came in unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And you, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that you might believe him. So again, it's publicans and heathen. Now it's publicans and harlots. Saying Jesus hung around with them. All right, this is the ultimate publican thing. It's Luke 18. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You might say they were saved. They trusted in themselves that they were saved. And despised others. Now, what does it mean to despise others in this context?
Judge down.
Well, it's these idiotic things that modern Christians do. They won't eat with you, with a heathen or an atheist, or the questions are you redeemed or are you saved? That's none of our business. We just live. And so by the act of even questioning whether somebody is redeemed or saved or whatever, then what we're doing is despising them. Do you understand that?
Yeah, it's like, say not even in your heart.
Amen.
And that's deep.
Yeah. All right. Two men went up, and this is the proof text of it. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now that's a really, and I'm sorry to point this out, it's sort of current news, but it's so important. The preacher, that he's one of the ones we sent the report on to the finance committee, is Eddie Long in Atlanta. And he's famous, he said these almost exact words, but he's famous for saying it many, many other ways. He says, I'm not a country bumpkin preacher. I rub elbows with presidents and kings. And so that sense of entitlement and a complete lack of humility is what got him in the trouble with the sexual issues. That sense of emptiness and humility, it can never, ever leave. You don't become something. Christ is. You die. He is. And that's why this idea of publicans is so critical, because you'll catch yourself expecting more than was appointed, because you are a bond slave and you can't expect anything. And the moment you expect more than is appointed, then you, by definition, have a sense of entitlement. And whether it's drugs or sex or anything else, it will grab you. And this emptiness and humility has to be it's the hallmark of Christianity, but not in today's world. For the most part, we see these guys that they strut around like peacocks, and it's. Anyway, I'm not really talking about them. I'm talking about us. And that's why this teaching on the publican is so important, because you'll catch yourself being a publican. I pray that you do. And hopefully, if you see another, you exhort him. Amen? Any other questions about publicans? Any other comments? Do we have any publicans in this room? That was a trick question.
Don't raise your hand if you're a publican.
All right, back to Luke.
One of the things that strikes me about it is that it's a foreign word. There's nothing that when I hear publican that I attach to anything I've ever learned about bad behavior or bad thinking.
And that's why we spent so much time on it.
I know, and that's appropriate. And if, even though we did, I still have a disconnect from the word. Although I've understood it as we read it, the word is still benign almost in my brain. So that bothers me.
Well, then it, what you're doing right then is you're inviting everybody to point it out to you when you are. You
see? I appreciate that.
Okay. Then came also publicans to be baptized. In verse 12. And said unto him, Master, what shall we do? From the word master is didaskalos. It's one who teaches the things of God and duties of man. It's translated throughout the script, throughout the New Testament, as rabbi or teacher or doctor. But it's also applied to false teachers. And let's go that there to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Actually, the better translated, to satisfy their itching ears. So they heap to themselves teachers, false teachers, that satisfy their itching ears. Now, what does itching ears mean? It means the itch has to be scratched. It's constant. It needs something else. You need more. You need different. And there's no contentment. There's no peace. There's no humility. And so the word is applied both to the right teachers and false teachers. The false teachers are those that teach self-realization in any way in the name of God. The false teacher is the one in any way whose predicate of his teaching isn't you are dead. Now,
I'm just saying, if that's not preached, then the ears itch for more self-centered preaching, because you can't get enough of that.
Well, but they also itch for knowledge.
And what?
You can also itch for God stuff things.
Well, you go to seminars.
Well.
Get more.
But you can also do it in here. If you think that by your mind you're learning something, then you have itching ears. If the preaching doesn't cause repentance instead of trying to learn, then you have itching ears. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We studied what should we do exact, or no more than is appointed thee. But let's go the next one. Verse 14. Soldiers. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and the word demanded shouldn't be in there, it's just they asked earnestly. In other words, they weren't being rude. That's the point of it. The word demanded, we'll get to in a little bit, but it's the idea that they asked earnestly because they really wanted to know. The soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall we do then do? What shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Soldiers is strateu. It's S-T-R-A-T-E-U-O. It's one serving in the military, and it does. These are mostly the guys that aren't professional soldiers, but like they've been drafted. But it's a metaphor for spiritual warfare, and it's. I'm not going to go through all these, but the one biggest one is in 2 Corinthians 10:3, which is we war not after flesh and blood. Another one's in 1 Timothy 1:18. Another one's in 2 Timothy 2:3. Another one is in James 4:1. Another one is in 1 Peter 2:11. But let's look for a minute after 2 Corinthians 10:3. I changed my mind. This is one we studied probably more times than I'm old. Maybe not that old, not many times. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And the word war there is what the soldiers do, so it's. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshy, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But I'm not sure we understand what it means, flesh, what the flesh means, in terms of our understanding. The flesh, the word flesh is sarx, S-A-R-X. And it just means the soft substance of a living body which covers the bones of both meat, beast and man. It talks about having two things. It's always the weak or unregenerate things in humans. It's always the outward appearance of seeing through. But let's look at how it's used in Colossians 2. Verse 13. No, let's go to 12. You are buried with him in baptism, whereunto also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, with raising from the dead. And you, being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing. That's a hard word to say. Triumphing? That sounds weird. Triumphing. Over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility.
It's a party.
Everybody dance. All skate.
All skate.
In voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now, there's only two minds. There's fleshly mind and the mind of Christ. There's no in between. Who is it? Fleshly mind, the mind of Christ, and fleshly mind. There's no redeemed mind. There's no saved mind. There's fleshly mind and spiritual mind. The only spiritual mind is emptiness, because his mind is manifested. Doesn't matter whether you call it a brain or a mind. There is no part of your fleshly mind that can be redeemed, including your cell phone.
That's like anything to do with thinking about yourself.
Where's that? Well, tell her to wait a minute. I'll be out in a minute. There's no part. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's just real clear. Flesh pertains everything to self. Emptying that.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to spend some time on this is the idea of using the mind for any reason. You know, the only thing you use the mind for is emptying. That's why it says you go to your closet. The closet is just a word that means the innermost part of your being. It doesn't mean to build a little. If you're not praying from the innermost, which is the Holy of Holies, by the way, then you're not praying.
Of which no flesh is permitted.
No flesh can go in there. Amen? All right, I got to go do W daycare duty. Take it, big guy.
Gotcha.
Figure out what the deal is with this freezer.
Plug it back in. Recycles.
I said, Dickie, where he really wants to.
They were all done. It was still open for hours.
I know. Because, I can't reach that thing.
We could have had animals in and everything in here. It was open for hours.
I know the room is stuck in.
They locked it open.
This morning to see Gary on his little project. What time? That's fine. I didn't get the draw sheet for Nick done last night. I might want you to drop those backsplashes off at Lucinda's, maybe just set one in place
Let's, before you ever head that way, give me a call. Make sure everything's in order. That's it. I'll see you in a little bit. Anything you need from me? Okay. Oh, good, good. And all the plumber will be ready to come as soon as you're routed and it's time, let me know and I'll get Sean over there to hook up all that plumbing. Great. Thank you.
I don't think the weather's very nice out there.
Oh, really?
In Maine?
Yeah.
Is that food growing?
No.
Thing won't kick back on though, will it?
No, we're going to call the guy that fixed it.
I wonder if there's a reset.
Well,
That's why I had it unplugged at night, like a computer might reset the whole system. And sometimes it gets dirty and it clogs up the compressor.
Well, we just had it fixed.
You had it fixed?
Yeah, less than 40 days ago.
Oh, well.
That's what. Call him to interrupt his vacation.
No.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
I've got a receipt. I was looking
at it. Did he put his name anywhere? Look, sometimes they put a little tag to the left of the on the side.
Oh, wait.
Look right there. Put your hand down. Your right hand. Down, 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 down. There. Right there, a little tag.
You're important. See, no.
Gary?
Yes.
Did that stuff about the mind thing clear up any of the thing between brain and mind that you were talking about the other day?
Oh. Well, it all goes. It seems like there's a different function of brain. It does stuff mechanically.
Brain is the flesh. Mind is the electrical impulses throughout it.
Yeah.
Remember when we studied that before?
Yeah, but it seems like mind has a spiritual contact, where brain has more of a physical operation.
And that's why it's only the mind of Christ that's manifested, which is only manifested in emptiness.
Yeah, I understand that. But since we're talking about the difference between the two.
Now, it says that there's all these graven images and the molten images and the pillars and the groves and all that. But each one of those is a million different paths that the neuron has developed. And it's just right in the center here. Remember, it's a pineal body.
Yeah, pineal body.
And that's a small, shaped like a cone. It's a small thing, and for most of the history, it was called a vestigial organ because they thought it was an evidence of it is the source of how instinct happens in all the animals, like the birds flying.
Mm-hmm.
But they thought that man had no instinct per se, because that was vestigial to keep him alive during the dark age. I mean, the caveman ages. But reality, that vestigial origin is the face of God. Remember,
uh-huh.
And it's the place. It's the vehicle by which the Holy Spirit communicates in that abandonment. In that emptiness, in that repentance. So that's why this deal about we have two options, two choices. You do nothing, because
then you're getting back into this thing. The mechanical.
So with this, you wait, no matter how long the wait is, even unto death, even unto death. I told you, this. The reason I know this so well is because I tested this at the very first. I was broke, cold, hungry, nothing.
I wouldn't lift a finger out.
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell anybody. And that's when that thing happened, about the message that I got. But then, the next day, I was on television.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The next day, what I've done is hid the few clothes I had
the playoff
in television station.
Very unfamiliar territory.
So I'd go sleep under the bridge.
Very unfamiliar.
And then come back there, and I couldn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be on a talk show at night. And I had to go do all the stuff I did at the office over there in Oakland. When I slept on the floor of the office and had to sneak around to shave and stuff.
I remember that, yeah.
Right. But this time, the next day, at that time, Walt Litzman came and told me that they had a trade out with an apartment house, and that they had an apartment for me.
On Cedar Springs?
On Cedar Springs.
That's where I did it.
Huh?
That's where I stayed for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And then they made an announcement that morning.
Excuse me.
They had students there at the Brian Fellowship.
Right.
It was a school. But they invited all of the people that were working for the station but weren't part of Brian to eat three meals a day in their kitchen and their dining facility. And so... the act of waiting until I was really hungry,
yeah.
Really cold, produced this certainty
that God would provide.
Right.
At the point
And everybody tells me, well, that's easy for you because you're saying, but that's happened to me so many different times, that same waiting.
Yeah.
And you do nothing when there's more than one choice.
I remember reading a book and when we first started getting together about this God's man in China. And that waiting was the same thing that this guy went through. He would not accept anything of his own effort.
Right.
And he waited, and you know, things happen. God does.
Oh, yeah. But anyway,
that's interesting. Well, the mind, it's almost like it's like the brain is just the hammer or the tool. It's the jigsaw or something.
Do you see anywhere where, oh yeah, there it is.
I can't
remember where I put the milk.
Yeah. And the mind is this ethereal part. The brain is mechanical. The mind is the ethereal part.
Remember, they're...
They function in unison.
Yeah, but we've talked about this before, but before the fall, there was only one mind.
Yeah.
There wasn't the conscious and the subconscious. There was only this. Everything was automatic from the standpoint of God, the communicator.
Yeah.
There was no awareness of self.
Atonement in reality.
But it was innocence, not holiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the capacity then was only through that pennyon body, because there was no self-awareness. There was no aware of self-need.
Uh-huh.
Self-want didn't make any sense if you're not aware of self. First thing after the fall was the thing that happened. What's the first thing? God said to them, they knew what God was there in the area and they hid. And God said, who told you you were naked? Who told you you needed something? Who told you that? So it's not just naked.
Who told you you are?
Yeah. But God was a plan, and by the way, they couldn't have fallen without until they named the names. But that's the risk God took. It's a huge risk. It's hard to us to think that God took a risk, but He really did.
Yeah, those things are just that, along with unrelated to it, that Jesus failed.
That what?
That Jesus failed in His
earth. Oh, after the flesh, yeah.
After the flesh, yeah. That's just like.
Well, that'll get you killed if you say that.
Words, yeah.
I know that you're an involved, mature father.
But when you think about it from man's point of view, yeah, that's what happened. From God's point of view, it was the perfection of His.
That's the way they
sink.
That's the way they
sink
it up.
All right. Good morning.
See you later. Hey.
Good morning.
Hey, are you an appliance repairman?
Well, you got me. No, I'm a tinkerer, is absolutely what I am. So, but no guarantees to repairs, but I don't mind.
This ain't.
That's why I'm not a surgeon.
Gary? The guy, it's under warranty from the guy who just fixed him. Okay.
Since I saw him mess with his stove the other day.
I'm the kind of person that
you touch it
before it goes to the dump, I'll take a look at it.
All right, I just want to clarify. I was having high expectations.
Well, good, I'm glad we did.
Clear that up.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. There's oatmeal left. Did Antonio sleep through the night?
Yes. Up a little bit this morning. Not knowing where he was, but he was quickly. Quickly.
What do you guys, what's on your schedule today?
We had planned our...
Go to the fair?
Go to the fair.
That's great.
It's...
You really should spend 2 days there if you can.
Yeah, is it that big?
Oh.
That's the kind of thing. You know, we come from a 70,000 person population, so when the fair's there, it's like, you know, it's the fair.
Yeah.
Or we go to the Arboretum, we go, It's like 16 acres, man. And the museum was like, just kept going and going and going and going. It's just, I guess everything in Texas is big.
The guy that donated the land after he, well, he didn't donate, it was, he willed it after he died for the, that was his estate there.
Yeah, who was that? I don't know who.
Were the fairies?
No, no. Or the Arboretum.
Oh, the Arboretum. Okay.
It's one of the, God. He was on my campaign committee, so I should remember him.
That's truly probably the most beautiful piece of property in all of Dallas, really, when you look at the view and...
Oh, yeah, with the lake.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Dallas is just abounds with all of this natural beauty, as you've noticed.
There are none.
Probably our greatest natural beauty
is old
in Dallas. That's all the good-looking women, that's about it. There's no rivers or mountains.
I can't... God, I can't remember his name. I see his face right in front of me, and his wife, who's an oil man.
Oil
services company.
Oil services.
He gave a lot of money to my campaign. I can't remember him.
Not Hunt.
No.
Bass?
No. Slumber. No. No. I'll remember later.
Simmons?
No.
You know, I bet I think I hit on it, because he just gave $25 million to the Boy Scouts. Trevor Reese Jones?
Nope.
Okay. I give up. If we had a multiple choice, you'd get it.
So how are you feeling today?
Well, I feel reasonably okay now, but I
was a little bit yesterday.
I was in the toxic spasms from about 12:30 in the afternoon to about 1:30 last night. And it was suicide pain.
Well, I figured that they deserved a little bit of something since you were making them laugh.
Yeah. I got a buddy that used to go hunting every fall. And he'd give me some deer jerky.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, too. And deer sauce. So lean.
You know what pemmican is?
What is pemmican?
Pemmican. If you're doing survival stuff or going on light, massive hikes, pemmican is this substance that's made with...
Well, my friend. I know, we didn't like it. I need a drill every day because I go to a job.
Which?
Drill. It's safe when I need something. I can handle. I need a drill because I go to do a work.
I don't know what... Pete's not here.
Yeah, I know that he told me yesterday, but I need a big bag in the afternoon.
I mean, I don't know what you mean. The
because Pete handled me tools and I bring it after him when I have a job.
Well, we have another drill that's a Black and Decker.
Yeah, that one. I can bring it back in
there. His DeWalt, he wouldn't let anyone use that thing.
Well, let him take the Black and Decker. But we know your name.
Good morning.
Yeah, we know your name.
Javier.
So you bring it back?
Yeah.
All right. anyway, I was for several years. I was a guide for hunters.
Okay.
In Wyoming, it was for deer and antelope and elk. And I did a little bit in Arizona, but and so the first deer I shot was I was probably 12 or 13, and but it turned out I didn't like venison, and so the only thing that I ever made with it, I usually gave the meat away if we shot something. But anyway, it was either the deer jerky or this pemmican. And pemmican is a substance. It's a word that means almost nothing, but it's a high energy compact food that you use dried foods, and so that you can put wheat and dates and dried meat. You just stir it up and it compact it so that it takes up very little space when you're doing mountain climbing or stuff.
Gotcha.
And they sell it, but at the best is home. I mean,
I know what I like,
so yeah. You put that in there. So, but that's the only thing I ever used. All of the hunting I did, I worked for a rancher. I was in the military then, but the work we did was, you could have 2 or 3 months where there's nothing to do because we're waiting for a test. I mean, an atomic bomb to go off. And for our test, that those others were worth watching than the other countries. But so I worked for this rancher in like 140,000 acres in Wyoming. And he advertised in the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune and Washington Post, guaranteed kill for hunters, for elk and deer. And he did some for bear and other things, but I only did the elk and the deer and the antelope. But anyway, so what the guaranteed kill meant, these guys, I was a good shot. I was but these guys, they had never hunted, and they couldn't hit the bar. So they would shoot and miss most of the time. And a lot of times they'd hit them in the ass or something and you'd have to kill it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they could never even hit it. But since they were guaranteed a kill and they'll tell lies about it, then I had to kill it.
Exactly.
But the thing that I never did it again after this. This was there's a whole bunch of ranch hands and they all had pickups. And there were several of these guys that had paid for an antelope. And they didn't, none of them had gotten one. So they drove their pickups and herded the antelope into a fenced-in corner. And these guys just got on the pickup, used pickup as a stand, and just slaughtered them. I never. That's the last time I ever hunted.
No game in that.
That's the last time I ever hunted.
It was funny they did that in Africa when I went down there, those big game, you can afford to get there, you can make up your story.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like we saw some of these ranches, right? And, these guys come with all their safari gear. Like, they're going to do is go out there and shoot. They spent $80 on a shirt with all these pockets they don't know what to put in. Make sure they're going to stay dry and cool. These hats and all this gear. And those poor animals. I swear, I don't have proof. But it's like, there's the lion you came to get. Which, what, the one that's drugged up is sleeping behind that tree. I shoot him.
No, I know. It's just, it's really sad. But I had to get that hunting thing out of my system. I think I enjoy shooting humans more than I did the animals.
Did you shoot humans in the military?
All the pigeons were...
I think I mean, there's a lot of it was long-term, long way away, but I'm not sure. But I think I killed 3 people. They were shooting at me first, though.
They were firing at us.
What?
They had their little white dropping firings.
When all the pigeons?
Oh, pigeons.
They're trapping all over the place.
I'm not much of a hunter. I like fishing.
You what?
I like fishing.
Fishing?
Yeah.
You done any fly fishing for trout?
Yeah, I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, it's fun.
It has to be a really wide river for me to fish in, or I'll be in the trees all day long.
Yeah, you gotta, it takes a little practice to get the hang of it.
But fish, you pull them out, they don't have any eyebrows, so you don't know what they're thinking.
They're not gonna look at you and go,
oh, ow. I don't have that eyebrow.
You don't hear that. You don't, when you're pulling the hook out of your mouth, you don't hear them go, oh, ow.
All you see is their mouth is, oh, 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 oh.
Alan.
You probably missed the part with those crazy sharp nerves getting all excited, talking to them, and he said, Andrew, are you chewing your food? And then he goes, did you see when he closes his mouth? Like, you know, it's guilty.
Guys, do you want to save a bowl of oatmeal for...
You know what?
What a good idea.
There's one of these sort of wide thing bowls. I think those other ones are better, though. Get one that, you have. Possible in the morning, if you and me and Ben work together, we could probably get the rest of that stuff put away. I think we'd get it put away in about 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
That'd be great. And none of the stuff's heavy, it's just we need...
I am going to look at those lights today, too.
Would you remember to put those free stuff away, too, right now?
So Ben probably gets in 9:30, and then I've got your 828 number.
Are those lights only? Do you know if those lights are on a switch or are they on a timer?
Timer. The timer's in there behind the tree.
Okay.
But
I'll need to bypass it so I can
test
it. Yeah, so if it turns out that the morning doesn't work out, we could even do it tomorrow morning, either way.
You know when you have to leave yet?
Right now we're tentatively thinking leaving Friday morning, but
this next Friday?
Mm-hmm. The Friday.
2 days. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty short trip.
Like one of the last ones.